Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everyone, as I mentioned last week, we're taking a brief hiatus and revisiting some of our favorite episodes until we return. So today we go back in time. The year is 2019 and you know our guest from Mad Men, Community, and Glow. Here's Allison Brie.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Unqualified with your host, Anna Faris.
To wear them if you don't want to.
Oh, I want to.
I like to
oh,
wear
I
them.
Oh, I want too. To.
But I do feel like that for anybody, but as you know, in particular people in the entertainment industry, how the grass is always greener. You know, it's like it's so easy.
Sure.
It's so easy. It's yeah. so fucking easy to bitch about having your dream job.
And oh yeah.
I love it that you love.
I love my job.
Yeah.
I've really been trying to work on that lately. I think this grass is always greener thing because perspective is so interesting. So you can just as easily look at this person and go, why don't I have what they have? But then you can also look at like this other person over here and be like, oh, wow, I have much more than that person. And I think it's probably most often best to just do that with yourself anyway, where you're like, well, 10 years ago, I didn't feel as fulfilled as I feel now. So isn't that the bar I should be measuring by? It's easier said than done. But I've been, the last few years, working on Glow has just been so fucking amazing. And like, just all the time, I'm like, just be grateful. This is the special thing right now. Be grateful right now while the thing is happening.
Okay, I have a favor to ask of you.
Yeah. Talk louder.
No.
Talk quieter.
Nope. Would you introduce yourself with your Russian accent as Ruth?
Oh. Guys, I just feel like I should say we're not shooting the show right now. My Russian accent might be a little cold.
Listen. Feel free to do any kind of improv, whatever you want to do.
As Ruth, as Zoya. Hello, dear listeners. I'm sitting here with... Oh, that's for me. That's my name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, right, because I'm playing a character.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. Hello, it's Zoya. Who knows who that person was talking? Okay, hello, dear listeners. I'm sitting here with the wonderful Allison Brie. I mean, I say wonderful, she's okay. She is brilliant comedic and dramatic actress. Some say not me. I think overrated. You may know her from Community and now her amazing show Glow, which is in its third season on Netflix, streaming now.
And the Mad Men.
And also Mad Men, yes. Not Mad Men, the cannabis dispensary.
No.
But a Mad Men, the angry man from the 60s in advertising. Or you may even remember her from her early days as a birthday party clown. Allison, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for having me. Wow.
You're amazing. Thank you for doing all the heavy lifting. Would you just interview?
You're welcome. I love heavy lifting. So it's actually right up my alley.
So the first time we met, I think was in Detroit.
I think it was in Detroit or in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I was shooting the 5-year engagement.
Yes. And I just fell in love with you.
And you. It was when I think of that experience shooting that movie, it was so fun. But it was just like so special. You were there visiting and we had the best time.
I know. I felt such a kinship. I think at that time... I mean, I felt like I was in sort of a place of, I'm always in a place of loneliness, like of just different levels of
sure,
it.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, we're actors.
Yeah.
But at that time, I felt so drawn to you because I felt like you understood something in me, or so, I don't know if I'm being overly intimate.
No, with that sentiment. Like no, not at all. I think we had an instant connection, and I also feel like that was a weird. I was like, I had just broken up with a long-term boyfriend right at the start of that shoot, but that had been sort of like a long time coming, that breakup.
Right.
So I was very untethered and like, you know, mildly out of control, but I was like so excited to be doing this movie. But I was also like, there was a lot going on.
I feel like you were so fucking earnest, like not earnest. That sounds patronizing, but honest.
Yeah.
And so talented.
Oh,
and
thank you.
No, I just remember feeling such a kinship with you.
Me too. Me too. I feel like we were very connected, and I do think there was, yeah. I mean, I was on location shooting. There is that kinship in sort of loneliness when you're on a set and women. And also we were like having fun.
I always felt like, oh, this is like a study abroad program.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to walk down strange alleys. I'm going to meet weird people. I'm going to like learn a new language. I mean, I never did, but you know, that feeling of like, how like, the experiencing a new city in the concentrated format. It's like, oh, I want to experience. And also, in the past, like I've done projects where, I think that sentiment came from a place of wanting to escape, other things as well.
Oh, definitely. I think, well, two things. The first is that because I did do a study abroad program when I was in college.
Wait, where did you go?
I went to Glasgow, Scotland.
Oh, yes. I know this.
But, you know, it was like a 3 or 4 month program. It was a semester of school. It was probably 4 months in Glasgow. And like, but to speak to what you're saying, it's like the most free I've ever been in my life because I went to CalArts, which was such a good theater school, but very small, very small. There were 30 students in my class.
You were gonna say three. As your mouth was forming 30, I thought
three.
You were...
Now that you said three, 30 sounds like a lot. But imagine being in college.
I always like, do that. I just undercut my guests.
Oh, thanks like, so much.
Yeah, no problem.
I guess we had a huge class. I guess that's what I think of college in my mind, or people go into colleges where they would sit in classes with like hundreds of people.
Right.
And there were 30 people in our class about, and then that would be broken down into smaller. We had about 6 people like in a class doing acting, scene study scenes. So it was so intimate and very easy to, I mean, you know, it was very incestuous and just like super fun, but also, well, you know, it was just sort of like, you'd make those bad mistakes of like sleeping with that guy in your acting class, one of 6 people. And then when he was sleeping with one of the other girls in class, like 2 months later, you were like, this doesn't feel good. This is a very weird place. But anyway, that aside, I guess CalArts, I think there was just, I do think I was free there, but I think there was just a sense you get in the place where you're trying to be the most free and doing scene studies and learn and take risks every day. Sometimes it was difficult to do that with all these people when certain things are going on interpersonally and that can kind of bog you down. So to go study abroad, it was like... It was like going to college initially where you're like, I can create a new identity.
Did you have roommates?
In college?
In Glasgow.
In Glasgow, I rented a room from a woman named Fiona, and she was like in her 60s. Oh my God. Fiona, a 60-something-year-old Scottish woman with like Amelia Bedelia, like crazy curly red hair, and her daughter... Oh, what was her daughter's name? Oh, I feel terrible. It was like Chloe or something cool. And I think her daughter kind of hated me. I was like annoying and lived in their house and loved her mom. But I just remember being there. It was such a short amount of time where I was like, oh, I'm going to be the first to volunteer in class and do the craziest shit because who cares? I'll probably never see these people ever again. It was very freeing. There was like one other student from my class at CalArts who had also gone, and she and I lived separately and like sort of both, it was like a silent agreement that we both had our own new identities while we were there.
So wait,
sorry. Wait, okay.
Yeah,
wait.
Yeah,
but then to say what you were saying about going on location to shoot movies feels like slightly different because you don't have that same totally untethered feeling of like no one will ever, I'll never see these people again.
That's true.
But there is like a summer camp vibe and a departure. You're like, oh, I'm going to see these people quite a bit. Yeah. Hopefully.
And other people hopefully will see us on the big screen. Yeah,
hopefully I'll see them when the movie comes out and for the sequel.
But there is that. It is
an escape.
Yeah.
It's definitely an escape. Like to not have to be home and deal with real life stuff. You're truly just like, I'm in a concentrated aquarium of the thing that is my job. And I just get to have fun with these people doing our thing.
Completely. Here's some other things I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
All right. I wanted to ask you what your favorite holiday is.
Oh.
But there's a reason why I'm asking the question. There's a question behind the question.
Okay. I have two answers to the question. Does this derail the follow-up question?
Nope, probably not.
For a long time, my favorite holiday was the 4th of July because I love fireworks. I'm not especially patriotic, but I just love a summertime holiday in which you look at fireworks. Fireworks are so... They're like dumb and extravagant. No. Well, I'm just always fascinated by like, I'm like, how much money did these people spend to put together this huge firework thing? We're going to stare at it for 4 minutes.
How did they get orchestrated gunpowder? Yeah. How does that
It's like, and
work?
We're all just watching explosives and the explosives represent us like bombing people and people bombing us. It's like not a cool, clearly I have a strong grasp of history.
Can you sing?
But that's a fun. Can I sing? Yeah.
Oh, say, can you see?
Yeah.
Oh, say. Ooh,
you have to start low because it goes really
high.
Let's
do it like children, like a child singer. Okay, are you ready?
Okay.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so Stretch.
Can I just say that our version of kids doing this is also like a weird, sexy Santa, like we're orgasming.
Isn't it,
like we're
broad stripes and bright stars.
We definitely know all the lyrics. Okay, but I think my true, actual, real favorite holiday, especially because what's actually come to pass is that I used to love 4th of July because I think I had more of a family tradition. Like me and my mom and sister would do a 5K and then we'd cook out and we would watch fireworks. And we haven't done that in a long time. I've been working a lot on the 4th of July and been out of town. I can't even really see fireworks. So it's fallen by the wayside a little. My true, real favorite holiday, hands down, is Thanksgiving because... it's like got all the good component. My least favorite holiday, obviously, Christmas. Yep. Do not like it. I'm quite a Grinch, you might say.
Yeah.
And I just feel like Thanksgiving has all the good parts about Christmas, which is like family, like gratefulness, being thankful to be together, like loving each other without the consumerism and like stress that comes with the extravagant gift buying.
Here's the problem. I used to have that answer.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving used to be my favorite for the same exact reasons.
Yeah.
But then your mom gets you up at 6 a.m. She's like, you need to start chopping onions.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Personally, Thanksgiving with my family is so fun, and Christmas is so stressful. My parents have been divorced since I was 5. So like the dance of like, where do we go Christmas Eve, Christmas morning? And now, and then it only gets worse and worse as you get older. Like I don't have kids, but my sister has 3 kids and then her in-laws, and now I'm married. And then it's like seeing my husband's family, like the logistics of Christmas.
Do your parents
are
get
crazy.
Along?
They do. And we pretty much force them to hang out all the time and for major holidays, and they're fine with it. But Thanksgiving is like, I think there's just an agreement. It's also, it's like one night only. We're all going to be here. We're going to eat food. We're going to drink wine. We're all going to get a little stoned. And that makes it
better.
Way more fun. Yeah.
Okay. So I was going to ask about Halloween.
Yeah. Interesting.
Because I have strong opinions
about Halloween as a holiday.
Just not crazy about it.
Interesting. Yes.
Because I don't like to, I feel like I dress up. Like I get
like all the time for work.
For work. And I'm granted, I just wear plaid shirts and jeans and sneakers, which is essentially what I wear anyway.
It's the character's clothes. But we can tell the difference.
But so I don't get a relief out of like donning a costume.
I do sort of feel like Halloween is for when you're a kid or when you're, or like your 20s. You know, like I do feel like I used to love Halloween in my 20s, and me and my friends would always make there was like a hot streak of maybe 5 years where me and my girlfriends, every year my friend would have a Halloween party and we would make our costumes, and we would like make matching leotard based costumes, but they weren't like sexy. I mean, sometimes they were, I guess being leotard-based, they inherently were slightly sexy, but like...
What is leotard-based?
It just meant that like the base of every outfit would be a leotard. So like 1 year, we were like...
You're like the Wizard of Oz, like you're a tin man and a leotard? Like what?
I mean, in theory, yes, that could have been a costume, but it never was. But like...
Sexy tin
we
man.
Did like... Okay, wait, look. We did... What did we do? We did California raisins. So that's like brown leotard with like a trash bag over it with like sneakers or heels and big glasses and like blow up instruments.
Yeah.
Then we
I
did
heard
like
it through the grapevine.
Exactly. Exactly. We did the women's U.S. Olympic curling team.
Oh, that's good.
So we had like Swiffer mops, but it's like red or blue leotards.
Oh, that's
I feel
good.
Like we had red leotards and blue little like hot pants, shorts, and then like high socks that had red and white and blue and sneakers and like sweatbands. And then we did synchronized swimmers 1 year. So that's obviously a bathing suit with like a floaty and like hats.
This is good. And also
ostriches,
like you have like the
1 year
comfort of ostriches.
Two were ostriches 1 year.
In leotards.
Yeah. Brown again. Long sleeve.
Did you guys
obviously
bury your heads in the sand? Do ostriches do that? Why do I think about that?
I feel like they do, and we did not. It was a missed opportunity.
Yeah. You could have like just brought a big bucket of sand and just started burrowing.
Anyway, I feel like in my wild days when my goal was to like get as drunk as possible as soon as possible, Halloween was great. And like As soon as I turned 30 even, or like, and some partially probably coincided with even like my friend being like, I don't think, maybe when she turned 30 and was like, I don't know if I'm going to do the party anymore. And we were like, great. Like, not that we loved the party when it was happening, but it was like, we agree. We're all getting a little too old for the party. And now it's a whole different, now it's like I'm going to go trick-or-treating with my nephews and like look at them in their costumes. And even that's
like
pretty overwhelming.
Like yeah.
I know. But the candy's great.
1 year I dressed up as like an Eastern European track star from the 70s.
Cool.
Which is, it's a very easy outfit. You just need like a, you know, like a tank top and some shorts. But I put this black wig on.
What was
on.
The person's name?
Oh, Svetlana.
Oh, great.
And, yeah, and I drew this, like a faint mustache on myself. And then I put like a unibrow on myself.
Mildly derogatory costume.
Yeah, totally. But And then we did mushrooms.
Great.
Yeah. So then I was at this bar in Hollywood and looked at myself in the mirror on mushrooms with a mustache and a unibrow in this black wig, being like, oh God, no. What
have I done?
And my whole face is distorting before me. I was like, and everyone else is sexy out there, and I'm
this is the danger of doing a funny costume. This is always the danger of doing a funny costume. Those years where you're like, I'm above it, and my costume's going to be funny and not sexy. And then you get to the party, and you're
then
like, oh, dressed as It's
why
Pat.
Why do I feel so bad about myself? Like,
oh, wait a minute. We've all decided that's not what this holiday is for.
It's like the first 5 minutes are fun, and then the rest of the night you're just like, oh,
you're explaining
God.
Your costume to everyone.
Totally. Or the people that will talk to me, like... Did you bring something weird?
I did.
You did?
Well, I don't know if it's that weird. I brought these rocks painted to look like cats.
Like cats?
That
what?
I got in Rome.
Oh.
In 2014.
I love
it says
this.
On the bottom.
Yes.
So.
La Torini, Perigati di Torre, Argentina.
I have no idea what that says. I didn't even remember that there was writing on the bottom. These like live in
milk
our.
Milk for the cats. That are from the Argentini Tower.
Great. Great. That's where the money went.
See, do you know where I studied abroad? Italy.
Cool. Cool.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
I can tell.
I know about two sentences, and I use them very well.
I could tell.
Yeah. Perigati, Oli, Torri, Argentina. Yeah, it's that famous Argentinian tower that I think Argentina gave that to Italy. In 2014.
Cool. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. It's a big old cat tower.
Reading
like...
about that. Well, we got these live in our, these are like the
amazing.
Centerpiece of our kitchen window area with that. It has a lot of, it's populated with many trinkets. And my husband and I, well, we got them because they looked like our two cats. We used to have two cats and we have one cat, but they're brothers. And it's like, this was Arturo, this one's Harry. They look just like them. We're obsessed, especially when they
Arturo
both were...
Arturo and Harry.
Harry and Arturo. Especially, Tur has passed away, but when they were both alive, we were like really obsessed with all animals, like being either a Harry or a Tur, and also like just anything. Like we'd see these two rocks and be like, oh, it's Harry and Tur. Like, we, and have to buy them. But what I think is funny about these... is where we got them, which is in Rome at this cat colony. So I've been to Rome a few times and it just like speaks to how much we're crazy cat people that like in Rome of all the cities
and
in the world,
pasta there.
I mean, sure. I mean,
listen, I've seen a cat eat pasta.
I don't know if that's verified.
Okay. Sorry. Go on. So you saw a bunch of wild cats in Rome.
Well, we were wandering around and we saw like the first time we went to Rome, we definitely saw the, like went to the Colosseum and went to all the giant historical landmarks that are there. Cause the whole city is basically a landmark. Like everywhere you look, you're like so much history. But our favorite thing in Rome is this cat colony that's in the middle of the city, which at first we thought was just like, it's in the middle of all these roads and it's just like ruins and they're filled, now they're overgrown with grass and there's just tons of cats. Like first we were just like, what's up with all those cats hanging out in those ruins? We thought they just were choosing to hang out there. But then we realized if you could go down underneath that it was a
what?
Cat colony, you could go downstairs and go down into
Don't
it.
Don't go underneath.
We went underneath.
Why did you do that?
We went underneath.
You had a brush with death.
Betty Gilpin and I were there doing press for Glow. And I was like, I'm going to take you around for the day. And it was like, first we got amazing cappuccinos or like icy espressos. And then we went to some other cool spot. Then we hit up the cat colony. She was not as impressed. It's my favorite spot.
So speaking of this, so you're in love with this indie movie. It's called Fever Dreams, Cat Colony.
Great.
No, you know what? We're not going to involve Cat Colony in the title. It's just called Fever Dreams.
Great.
Okay, so you play, and you love this script.
Okay.
This is a passion project.
Okay.
You play a meth addicted stripper named Cheryl.
Okay. Am I me, Allison, playing Cheryl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Meth addict Cheryl.
Yeah.
Allison Brie.
It's like you're,
Cheryl.
Everyone's like. Yeah, it's
fever
everyone.
Dreams.
Yeah, and
is
everyone's
it fever dreams plural?
Yeah, fever dreams.
Okay.
Yeah, the title may change, but
working title.
But everyone is like, oh my god, this is like such a character piece,
and I'm like, this, you're is gonna, my, like this is like my Oscar.
Yeah, okay. You end up killing your pimp, in sort of a wonderful act of revenge or whatever. Okay. Now, here are the questions.
Okay.
Would any of these things make you walk off set?
Oh, okay.
All right. It's July in Tallahassee. Okay, not that.
That's it for me in this movie.
Okay. Your co-star, Chad Michael Ryan.
Okay.
He insists on a pop-out trailer. Mm-hmm. There's not quite the budget for it.
Mm.
How are you feeling about that?
Is it going to sink the movie?
It stretches the budget. It's like there's no omelet bar.
Would I walk off the set? No.
Okay. All right.
No. But I would like talk a lot of shit about him.
Okay. He refuses to come out of his trailer before you.
No, that's fine.
Okay, he won't stay for your coverage.
I mean, you know, it's fine.
You are patient with Chad Michael Ryan.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. Go on.
Okay. He says, you clean up nice on the first day.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
I mean, look, he's looking at me playing a crack addict and saying you clean up nice. Like, it's kind of sweet.
Okay, he insists on sushi for his cat.
I mean, that I support. That I'm on board. Maybe I would just out of pocket help the funding for that.
He mouths your lines as you were saying them.
That I would have a problem with. I would draw the line. I would draw the line. But I wouldn't walk off the set. But I would make a big announcement about it. Was that like we're just waiting to get to my breaking point and now we got there?
Okay, can I be your agent then?
Yeah.
Okay, you have to call me.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Hey, it's Allison Brie for Ron. I'm just returning his call.
Hey, Allison.
Hey, Ronnie.
Oh, my God. How's everything going? I'm so sorry that, God, you know, June was so sick. And I'm so sorry that I know we were supposed to come out there, but.
No. Oh, my God.
But
don't
how
worry
is
about
everything.
It.
I'm so proud of you. I know,
Thank you.
I heard from the producers, and you are just doing amazing.
Thank you. That means so much to me.
No, it's so true. And we're working on like the next big thing.
Oh, my God. I'm psyched. Listen, it's going fucking awesome here.
Oh, that's so great to hear.
But we've kind of hit a little bit of a snag.
Uh-huh.
And I need your help with something. I'm bumping a little, we have that big scene today where,
of course.
You know, it's like Chad's character and my character and we're doing a bunch of meth and we have sex and he like,
right.
Shits on me and then like
right.
You know, it's like a really graphic scene.
Right.
And when I signed on,
right,
we had a lot of conversations about my comfortability with the fecal matter and
right.
We discussed
well,
that.
We
at
talk,
length.
Also talked about Oscar.
100%. And can I tell you that I'm on board with a hot Carl like nobody's business?
Yeah.
But there is a problem. Chad wants basically he won't wear a sock.
Hey Tabby, can you get off the line really quickly? Sorry, Allison.
Bye,
I'm sorry. I just want to make sure that the we're like ground.
I always forget that they're. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Go on. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Anyway,
Allison. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm fine with the graphic nature of the scene.
Right.
But he can't just be like dick out balls akimbo when we're shooting. I find it very offensive.
Right.
And I have bent over backwards to like let him get away with all this other crazy shit.
Right. Are they using like true fecal matter or?
No, you know, it's sort of like a pudding. Uh-huh. And then they put some kind of like, I think they're blending oatmeal, like dry oatmeal up into a powder. And then they're putting that in like a chocolate pudding.
Uh-huh.
It's actually, it's like very tasty.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's been actually kind of great for my skin.
Yeah,
I've been using it as a mask in the evenings. So like that part of it doesn't bother me.
Right.
And like, frankly, I'm looking up his butthole in the scene. I just don't want to also have to look that dick in the face.
I do. I completely understand.
It's 2019. I don't think I should have to.
You should not 100%. Allison, 100%.
I feel like if I had, you know, been a producer on the movie, I might have had the power to say something in this moment, but got some interesting advice about that.
This is your Oscar path.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to I know this is a difficult journey,
mm-hmm.
as it is for all, like any Oscar winning performance is a difficult journey.
It is difficult.
If you have to suck up a little pudding or look at Chad's asshole. That's what you have to do. That's what you have to do.
Wait,
and you have to stay strong.
Wait, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like we could have a talk with someone. I do feel like we should have a talk. I'm not trying to be difficult.
How about I call?
But I do think we should have a talk with someone.
I'll call Gary.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want you to be comfortable. That is of the utmost importance.
Great. And I want you to be clear that I'm drawing the line here. And so basically, if his dick stays out, then I'm gone. Okay. You know what? But like, tell him that, but know that like, I'm not going to actually walk off the movie, but like threaten it.
Okay. I will. 100. You're so right, Allison.
Thank you.
And I always will have your back.
Thank you.
Hey, wait, one last thing though.
Mm.
I just need you to know before you hang up that, Chad Michael Ryan just signed on to our agency. So I just ethically, I need to tell you that.
Huh. Oh, great. Well, you can have fun working with him and his big swinging dick. I'm going to be over at,
No.
Schmoes and Company across the street. Oh my God. Thank God. I don't have agents like that. I feel like they would be shocked and appalled at like the top five things that you said that I was like, that's fine. That's fine with me.
But wait, you were going to tell me something before I got home. What would make you?
I guess I just was going to say that I would never walk off of a, I mean, like it would take so much clearly that that's so not in my DNA.
I know.
To implode a project that I'm working on. I'm more like, okay, what can we do? So he needs a bigger trailer? Great. Well, maybe we should just take a little bit out of my cut and then he'll do the movie and then we'll have that great actor in the movie. Like, I mean, I'm not that way all the time, but...
No, but I feel you.
I do
completely
feel like...
That there's... Is that... I wonder. I don't know. Is that like a...
A female thing?
I know.
I know. It's like I can't decide. There has to just be a balance where there's a... Where you have a place where you draw the line where you're like, I don't want to get... shit on. Speaking of our improv.
That was amazing.
You know, you want to look out for yourself and like request a level of respect that you are due. But also I think that there's a tendency for a lot of people in our business as they get success to suddenly get very difficult. And I just have no patience for that. So like I actually, when someone's behaving very badly, it almost like delights me to behave very well. Like, it's like, I'm like, oh yeah, that's a horrible way to be. It's like a great reminder that like, that nobody wins in that scenario. So it's like, if some actor is like, I'm not doing my off-camera lines with her, I wouldn't be like, fuck that, I'm out of here. I would stay, wait for that person to leave and be like, wow, that's crazy. But let's keep it moving. What else can we do? Should we, like, I'm not going to look bad
you're
or...
a team player. Because you're right. But I'm with you in the sense that, like, yeah, completely. That I wouldn't walk off anything.
Yeah. I can't see myself walking off anything. Yeah. I can see myself being like, I'm going to need to have a conversation with someone. And I actually think more and more, especially working on Glow, I think I've been very good and very lucky that I work for very, just communicative women who are happy to have those conversations. And like everyone on our set feels that way. But it's been an empowering scenario to be like, oh yeah, I'm pretty good at towing this line of like looking out for myself on set, making sure I'm aware and comfortable with everything, but also working hard, being right. here for the team, right. being in a
right.
good mood.
Right.
I'm not
right.
getting pissed, but yeah. I'm like, wait, I need some clarity on this thing. Here, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Which is like, yes. I do think that that is a cool thing that's happening now where more women are like, oh, I have the right to say this stuff rather than just be like, oh, excuse me, do you mind? And that also just comes with working a lot. I would like on the set of Mad Men was my first job. I was never made to feel uncomfortable, but I felt uncomfortable because I never wanted to lose the job. That was me. That was just me as an early actress.
God, completely.
You know what
completely.
I mean? Whatever you guys want, whatever, just no problem.
Completely.
I would never have rocked the boat. And I think that in some ways, like, I don't know. Obviously, when it comes to like sexual harassment and really inappropriate stuff at any level, everybody should be speaking up all the time, of course. But on other levels, sometimes I feel like there's an earned thing where like, but again, without being a pain in the butt,
yeah.
sometimes people come in and it's their first job and they're making like grand requests and you're like, calm down.
Right.
Aren't you so happy and excited just to be completely. Doing this job? Like, I still feel that way.
Oh, completely, completely. I remember.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I mean, in my early 20s, I went through this like whole back and forth thing of like, oh, I don't deserve to be like in a movie, but I would have these rushes of arrogance.
Right.
They hopefully didn't last that long. My parents kind of schooled me, I think. but there were these rushes that were like, oh, I see other people around me having these things.
Yeah.
And why don't I? But then it's like fucking, who the fuck am I?
I think it's so easy to get caught up in that stuff. And because certain people are playing weird mind and power games and like, yeah, that you can get caught up in it too and be like, I'm working harder than anyone on this movie and he's
and
not coming out of his job.
Yeah,
I'm undervalued. It always comes from a place of insecurity about your value, your station on set, the hierarchy of that.
Yes.
And I've been guilty of it too. Absolutely. And then now I think I've come over that and been like, no, I'm still just grateful to work on stuff I enjoy. You know what? Like someone coming out of, when I hear stories about people in a game of chicken of like, who's going to come out of their trailer last, that to me, I'm like, I will be first on set all
fuck
day.
Yeah.
Let me get my ass to set. And you know what I mean? Join me when you're ready.
That is the power
who cares?
Play. That is,
don't we all want to do the job and get the fuck out of here and go home?
Totally.
Like, not get the totally. Fuck out of here. I enjoy I enjoy the work.
But yes, but completely.
But that, you're like, that just seems like, so dumb. I'm like, so you're going to spend another, you're just going to chill for an hour? You don't want to, you're not at all excited to like go to set? And look, this is also like, as I said when we started this conversation, I'm working on a total dream job right now that is like the best in every respect. And so I do feel so lucky every day. And I understand also, I've worked on jobs that I wasn't having as much fun on. And I think that also is when some bad behavior happens.
Yes,
because
true.
When you're not happy doing the thing you're doing, those emotions can come out in a lot of different ways.
Okay, so we're going to call Liv. And she has a breakup question.
Hello?
Liv?
Hi.
Hi, it's Anna Faris. I'm here with Allison Bree.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Allison. I'm a big fan.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
I love Sleeping with Other People. That's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Oh, my God, Liv. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So excited to talk to you guys.
No, thank you so much for doing this, for being vulnerable in this like weird public space. Will you tell us what's going on?
Yeah, so I'll just start from the beginning, I guess. So my ex-boyfriend now, we got together when we were 17. We went to high school together. We fell in love really quickly, and we stayed together for quite a bit until I left our hometown in upstate New York and moved to the city to go to college, and we just couldn't make long distance work. So we separated and we were broken up for about 2 years. And during that time we would stay in touch a little bit. We had gotten back together a couple times for short periods. And then about 2.5-3 years ago, we got back together for good and things were amazing. It's going to be our 3-year anniversary in a couple, well, it would be our 3-year anniversary in a couple months. And there were really only good signs. We talked about the future. We had a really great relationship. We were really in love. We decided to move to New York together and get a place together and move in. And that was a really big step. And things were going super well at first. It was like a honeymoon phase. I was waiting for kind of like the pin to drop and something to go wrong. And then in July, we kind of just hit this rough patch that we couldn't get out of. And it was just like a really terrible funk. But I'm kind of someone that always wants to fix things. And I just thought we could fix it. And I thought it was temporary and things seemed to be looking up and I went on vacation and we left in a really good place. And when I got back, he just broke up with me. And, you know, we live together. We have like shared finances now. It's like, it's left me in this position that I'm just like, part of me is so heartbroken and sad, but it's been 3 weeks and a big part of me like still really misses him and thinks about him every day and wishes I could just reach out to him and be like, let's keep working on this. So I guess I'm just calling to ask you guys what you think I should do, if I should reach out and put my heart out there and risk it and tell him how I feel, because I still love him.
Liv, I think this is, it's like, it's such a story that most people need to go through, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I hope that doesn't sound like a 42-year-old saying that to you. But I think that it sounds like he has been kind of distant for a minute, you know? And I don't want you to be vulnerable, to be only to be shut down a bit. I want you to, I mean, I know it's corny, but I always talk about like protecting your heart.
Yeah.
I will also say though that, that we, I think especially maybe as women, or maybe men do too, but we romanticize our early relationships and think about like, you know, because love shit, like our passion with love shifts over time, over decades, you know, like it's like you feel in love at, you know, at age 12 with like, you know, Ryan in my case, and then and then you feel in love at age like 16. To me, at least, through my 20s, it felt, now I think about it in hindsight, how defining all those relationships were. Not that I had that many. What am I talking about? Nobody really liked me. I wore headgear. But
you wore headgear in your 20s?
Not in, Allison, listen, you can shit on me later, okay? But I think that there's a self, and I hope this sounds comforting, Liv, but there is like in those early love crushes and the first falling in love and your first love, there is a self-involvement where it feels like, is this like the approval, and where is the failure, and what did I do that messed this situation up, or how do I look, which is totally normal. Allison, mm-hmm. Do you think I'm right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think often too, when we get in a pattern with a person where we break up and then we get back together with them, you know, you can fantasize about the idea of, and the comfort of being with them, which is obviously feels much better than being alone, especially when you've just broken up. Liv, you're 23.
Yeah.
I just think that Anna's right. You're so young and you're still going to grow and change so much. And you guys now have been together through two different moments in your life, but ultimately, you're too young to be in a relationship that goes through a long funk and feels like a lot of work. And I don't,
you know what I mean?
Like when you've been married for 10 years and you have two kids with someone, then you're going to be like, okay, let's put in the work. Let's work through this. At this point, it feels like you're 23. You guys really gave it a shot. Clearly you have an incredible connection with this person and you did have that falling in love at a young age at 17 and then got back together and went through that honeymoon phase again. But it is indicative that like things only go well when you've had that time apart. So it's like a constant chasing of the honeymoon phase. Like you want to be with someone right. who it just feels good to be with them all the time. Not just when it's exciting in the first and few months or
year. And that's what I want. And I mean, for so long, that's how I felt. And you know, it's like Anna said, it's easy to, like, I look back at letters and pictures and romanticize the really good times, but mm-hmm. you know, it's hard to think about the bad ones, but there were bad ones that made me question a lot too. So part of me was, when it happened, like, wow, I can, you know, live my life and make my own choices as a 23-year-old. But then it's like you're alone.
Exactly. And live. And that's what I was going to ask you too, a little bit about was, I mean, New York City is the fucking best,
yeah.
but it's also incredibly lonely.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so is, definitely. You know, so maybe think about like, is part of your missing, this man, is that also out of feeling like where are my connections? Where are my roots? Like where
right,
am I?
You guys moved to this new city together. So that was huge. So now it's going to be about like finding yourself on your own two feet in this new city and making your friends there and like finding your identity there. And that will put you in a better position for the next guy. Because I do think this is a move forward situation. I think that you're,
I don't like it, Liv, that you mentioned earlier that, that he made you feel bad. You know, like,
well, or just that he, you thought that to have any sort of misleading and then he makes a call about your relationship while you're on vacation is
right.
It's just indicative of his immaturity. Because you guys are young.
Waited.
Yeah.
Yeah. I literally walked in the door from vacation and it happened. Like I had just gotten home. But yeah, it was like the rug was totally pulled out from under me. I was on vacation talking about like how glad I was that we worked through it. Because I mean, in my head, I was like, I don't know. My parents are divorced. So, you know, I've seen them work through very, very, very long rough patches. Mm-hmm. It was like a month and a half. I was kind of like, but also I know I'm young. So it's too young to be having to work through that. I get what you guys are saying.
My first boyfriend totally broke my heart. I think at age 19, but I do think that those milestones in my mind, because I think that I didn't really actually like him all that much. Mm-hmm. Like I would read through my diaries and it's like, oh, I hate his laugh. I hate his like, why does he make fun of people? And it's important to reflect upon those things too. Yeah. And, or, you know, the times that he made me feel bad about myself or whatever. And, but the idea of like needing things to be, solved, relationship wise, you know, I think that there's probably more pressure on women more than men for things to be like, oh yeah, okay, I have this checked off the list. I have my relationship checked off the list. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to get my career checked off the list.
But don't you find then it's like that actually you're learning so much more on those phases where you were in between relationships?
Oh, completely.
And I also think there's a thing about the on again, off again relationship that is easily romanticized because then you broke up, but then you got back together. You found your way back to each other. And I get it. I used to be and maybe it'll happen again, which is like a dangerous road to go down because you don't, it'll make you be closed off to other new opportunities. If you're sort of holding out hope that you guys will get back together again, you know? And the truth is, because I used to really do this on again, off again with guys, and then I'd be sobbing on the floor and I missed them so much. And then we'd get back together and it was like, yes. But what I later realized was it was sort of like a low self-worth issue that I would always assume, oh, something was wrong with me. I had to work harder in that relationship. Yes,
that's a great way to put it.
Versus like realizing, no, there was something that was missing in that relationship. That's why we broke up. There were reasons why we broke up. Even in this instance, him breaking up with you, then that means that there is some underlying issue there that you don't want to be with that person who doesn't think it's right. It's not feeling right.
Don't they say death by a thousand cuts?
Yes, exactly.
Like, yeah.
It's like,
I felt all of those things in the beginning. Like, and I still do. Like I go back and forth, you know, between this is the right thing, 'cause I don't want to be with someone that doesn't want to be with me. And, you know, I went through those 2 years without him like holding that door open. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I can't do that. Like I turned to him when he broke up with me and I was like, you know, I know our history. So I was like, if you're doing this, like, this is it. The door's closed. Like, because I know I'm worth it. You know, I know I was a really good girlfriend. I was super supportive. And he was a good guy, too. You know, we had a really healthy relationship, which is the hardest part. But I'm just like, I'm afraid I won't find another relationship that good. It just went wrong.
Oh, Liv, you will.
You definitely will.
You so will.
You will probably find many more relationships that are better.
And if you can resist the temptation to not contact him, that would be my advice.
I haven't. I'm so proud of myself. I have
good.
Not.
Yeah.
I, like,
that,
we
is,
only,
that is, that's and, fucking strong.
Yeah.
Liv, that's fucking strong.
It takes a lot. I just like when, like last night I was crying, just thinking about him, and instead of texting him, I texted my best friend, and I was like, I'm texting you instead of texting him. So just
yes.
remind me why I shouldn't. And that's like the best thing I've gotten out of all of this is like realizing how great my friends are.
Well, that's what this time is for, to reconnect with your friends and reconnect with yourself.
Yeah.
And move forward.
I know, but God, I know it sucks to be lonely and it sucks to have envisioned your life one way and then it dramatically shifts.
Yeah.
But Liv, I promise you're going to come out stronger and please keep in touch. There really should be an app where you can text like your faux ex and someone can be like, oh yeah, I miss
you
too.
I was a dick.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Forget
like,
me.
Yeah, like you were the best thing that's ever happened to me. I admire your strength. You're really strong.
Yeah.
Thank you. I don't feel like that all the time, but I try and tell myself that.
Oh, you're doing amazing.
I think I'll, you know, I used to come through stronger on the other side.
100%.
100%. And please know that your story is not dissimilar. I mean, I stalked my college boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. I've been sobbing on the floor before begging a guy to get back together with me. And then he did. And 4 months later, I was like, oh, yeah, we broke up for a reason.
Yeah.
Fucking hate this
you're an
guy.
Asshole. You treated me like shit. And now I'm finally, finally
like, wait a minute. What have I done? You're going to survive and thrive. I can tell also that you just have a very healthy perspective. And I hope that we just gave you more encouragement to do what you're doing.
You did. Thank you so much. That was not always the answer that I want to hear, but like the answer I need and the good answer. Cause the other answer is toxic. So I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening and your advice.
Oh, thank you. Please, truly, let's please be in touch. I know that we're going to get some listeners that will respond to this.
Thank you. I want to say before I go, your podcast and listening to other people's stories, you know, when I wasn't going through this, but also especially when I have been going through this, because I know I hear people going through the same thing all the time on the podcast. And it just like reminds me that I'm not alone. So
Liv, my God. Thank you so much for saying that. Thank you. Oh, that's please be in touch.
Yeah.
Thank
you guys so much.
Oh, what's going on over there?
Well, it's like the thing that, like what Liv was talking about. It's like the thing that we've all gone through.
Yeah.
And it's like, and there isn't advice you can really give.
It's no. Like, and it's also like, she's so young. She's 23. It's true that when you're 23, because you're just starting life, like on your own as a starting to feel like an adult in your early 20s, but things feel monumental, and they are, but
they
like
are.
You have to have those heartbreaks. It's just like a part of life and love and what it's all about. But of course it hurts so much to go through that stuff, and the strength it takes to not get back with someone when you have been in that pattern is really difficult.
Oh, completely.
Yeah. And she needs to move on.
Okay. What are we doing? We're calling Lauren.
Hello?
Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
Hi. My voice was oddly chipper. It's Anna Faris.
Hi.
Hi, and I'm here with Allison Bree.
Hi.
Oh my gosh. Hi, it's so great to talk to both of you. I'm a big fan of both of you.
Oh,
and I've listened to every episode of the podcast.
Oh, thank you. And you're so sweet to do this. Allison has great advice. I don't know if I do, but
I know
do.
You will.
Will you tell us what's going on, Lauren?
Yes. Okay. So basically the situation is I've been dating this amazing girl for about a year and a half. We were really close friends before that. She's wonderful in every way. She's kind. She writes me poetry. She's really funny. She's really smart. But the only issue is that she doesn't text. Not that she like does text sometimes and just not very often or doesn't text me back, but she just like doesn't text. And it's something that, you know, makes me really anxious. I'm like, is she dead? Is she mad at me? She's never those things. But it's really like, it sends me on a spiral every time.
Wait, sorry, can I just jump in? When you say she doesn't text, you mean like she has a stance where she just goes, I don't text, like she doesn't text her mom, she doesn't text to say, I'm running 5 minutes late, like she won't ever use her phone to text.
No, so she texts maybe one word a day, maybe a little bit more, but like she doesn't like usually answer. It's not just me, it's like her mom, her friends, her siblings, that kind of thing. She will call on the phone, but it's just like, if she's busy, then you won't hear from her that day, and maybe the next day.
Interesting.
So wait, okay, but you guys do you guys have a long, like what's your living situation?
Yes. So I work and live in New York, and she is in Vermont finishing up school. So it's like planning to be only long distance for the end of this year and then moving together somewhere or moving to New York where she's from. So it's not like a thing that will last forever, but just a thing that's happening now. And another thing is like, I'm like fine with the fact that she doesn't text, but I don't know how to be like, well, you know, somewhat fine, but I don't know how to be like not unchill about it. So I need to figure out my situation.
Okay, wait. So, okay. How often do you guys see each other?
So I visit her on the weekends. So it's pretty often.
How old are you guys?
So she's 21 and 32.
She's 21 and she doesn't text. It's kind of a miracle. I'm sorry. I'm like shocked.
I know. It's like totally abnormal. Like even for 32, I think, but definitely for someone in the early 20s.
Totally.
And when we were friends, like, you know, just friends, I was living in Israel and we would also talk on the phone every day. But if I needed to text her, if I wanted to text her, she wouldn't text back. And then sometimes I would like try to text something like more interesting and try to see if she'd respond to that.
I'm juggling knives and I'm naked and nothing.
yeah, it's not a good strategy.
So do you guys talk on the phone every night?
Yes, most nights. She is like a very amazing busy human and is usually busy like from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. because she has many jobs and is also a student. So it's most nights, at least a little bit. And so it's like, it's totally not, I think her problem is really my problem with like not being chill. And like, I don't know anyone else in this particular situation because most people text.
Right. And does she email you? I have to gather all the information. Would she ever email?
This is a good question. Occasionally, like, I'm a part of, like, her family's mass emails because her mom likes to send a lot of, you know, New York Times stories to everyone, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes she'll email, but it's not, like, not frequent.
And have you ever talked to her about this?
Like, kind of in the beginning of the relationship, she said something like, you know, I can try to text, like, this many times a day, but it might be stressful for me. And I was like, I don't want that because I don't want it to be like a thing where she's feeling stressed about it. That is like making her stressed. And then I know that it's making her stressed. Mm-hmm. So then I don't know.
So at this point, does she know that you have a problem with it?
I think she knows that it makes me anxious, maybe doesn't know like the rabbit hole that I go down. But I also don't want to like put it on her because I don't know if it's something that she can change as much as like something that I need to think about differently, but I have no idea how to think about it.
Lauren, so okay, I am notorious as being like a terrible texter. And lots of people in my life are mad at me, and that's why I don't have any friends anymore. But having said that, I know, I love it. You're
cool.
You're like, oh.
great uplifting story.
Yes. But here's what you need to do. You need to tell her that you called a podcast because this is how much you want her to text you back.
I have a suggestion, but it involves it involves a bit of compromise, which is that, I mean, the bit of compromise is her inevitably having to send a text, but this is something that my husband and I do when we are away from each other, when we're shooting on different, you know, shooting movies or things and we're in different locations. And sometimes it's hard to text each other during the day because you're on a set and there's a million things going on. Or even if you're not on a set and you're 21 and you're in school and you know what I mean? Like, you're not texting in class. Yeah. So that I totally get. And we make a habit of texting each other one time at night before we go to bed.
Do you do something sexy?
It's actually more romantic than sexy. A tradition of sort of like good night love letters to each other, so that it's like, rather than feeling, I mean, so it's compromised from her in that she would have to send you a text before she goes to bed. But it's not like all day checking in with each other. What are you doing? What's going on? What are you doing now?
Which I don't want that anyway. Yeah.
Right. It's more just knowing to take that one time, if you felt comfortable to open up this conversation with her, to say like, you know, I love everything about you. I love you in all these other ways. I wish we were in communication a little more over text, and I know it's something you're not comfortable with. Would you consider texting me in the evenings just to tell me just a little something about your day?
Here's the thing. Is that
you think she's just not going to because she doesn't like to text?
I think that some people
email.
Well, I think that some people don't.
Maybe it's a
hard
Marco
time
Polo
accepting love. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Lauren, it's so great that you, I love it that you're so emotionally healthy that you can express your needs, because I don't think that many people can. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if she's just not in that place, maybe, that she can't. She can't feel as needy or like she can't be as vulnerable as you can be, which I think vulnerability is a strength. But I wonder if she can't quite get there yet.
Yeah. And if that's a thing, you know, that is okay. It's just something to talk about. But I think that, like, nightly thing is a good suggestion, and I like that you brought up the email. And I feel like this is something that I can, like,
okay, great. So Allison gave way better advice than I did. Fine,
great. You're welcome. Great.
Thank you, Allison Bree, for being here. Good night, everybody.
The more important thing to talk about is also just that you should feel like you can communicate what you need to her. Like, as I'm thinking about this conversation, maybe the most troubling thing, but it sounds like you guys have a great relationship, but it's only troubling a little that you say that you don't want to stress her out by telling her that you feel this way. So that is sort of like, as you guys progress in your relationship, you can't have a relationship where you don't feel like you can express your feelings to her. And it sounds, I mean, I don't know, has she given you, I mean, when you have expressed your feelings to her in the past, does she freak out?
Yeah, I feel like it's so weird. I think it's weird on both of our ends, because in every other way, we are like big communicators. And if like one of us hurts the other's feelings, we definitely communicate that. Like, if she makes me sad by something that she says and she doesn't mean to, we'll talk about that for like 2 hours.
But not this, because it's like your biggest thing.
Yeah, it's a, like a weird block. And not just on her part, but like mine too. But it is like useful also, Anna, you saying that you kind of do the same thing. Because it's reassuring that there are lots of people like this, or at least others.
Totally.
I want to, like, when I'm with somebody, I want to dedicate all my attention to them. But then, like, there's people that are like, can't you just send me a fucking emoji? And
just give me a thumbs up. All I want is a thumbs up.
And I don't know. I like hearing somebody's voice.
Right.
And
yeah, that makes sense.
I say this as a comfort, hopefully, that she'll be that she'll step up a little bit and be like, okay, I recognize that this is important enough. To you.
Yeah.
And then text you. And if she doesn't, then that's something eventually. It doesn't have to be immediate, but it's something to maybe evaluate at some point, you know, later on down the road.
I think you're right. And I think it's just something I need to like start talking about. And I've just been, I am definitely the needier person. But just worried about being too needy
Lauren, I love you. And that's, you know what? And sometimes, sometimes neediness comes from such a place of strength because you can admit that and you're not like defensive. That's strength in and of itself.
And when you're in a healthy relationship, it's nice. It feels good to be needed.
Yeah.
So actually, it's a wonderful quality.
Yeah. Completely.
It's a way to show love to your partner. I need you. I like to hear about what you're doing.
I miss you. And I'm like, and to be able to admit that is so wonderful. It's wonderfully strong, I think.
I think that it's the key is communicating this to her when you're together on a weekend, when you're not apart and you're not like in the middle of a pissed like spiral of like what the fuck, more like when you're together having a great day and things are going well and you just want to say to her, I love you so much, I love hearing from you, here's something I've been struggling with a little bit, and could we try this or that, you know, would you be willing to compromise a little?
I think that's a wonderful idea, and you guys are both so lovely and wonderful and kind. So thank you so much.
Hey, Lauren, will you please keep in touch?
Yes, definitely. I'll let you know how the conversation goes.
Great. Right. Good luck.
I love you. I love you. Thank you.
Thank you. I love you so much. Thank you.
Bye, Lauren.
Bye.
Allison?
I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's going to be okay. We're going to get over this. Turns out you give better advice than I do.
I don't think that's true. I feel like we were a really good team.
We were a good team.
Yeah.
Fine.
Look, I am going to stay. I'm going to take a few more calls on my own. But thank you so much for being here.